Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Ben Reichle.
Greetings and welcome on board WKOK's live telephone talk show, On the Mark. I am Mark Lawrence, subpar host of the show. We do have a superlative co-host today. Mr. Ben Reichle is here. He's a local conservative, Republican committee person, very informed on underground infrastructure when it comes to water. So, as soon as we talk to Mindy Forsman about what they find when they dig around Northumberland, you'll know precisely what she's talking about. Yes. Were you surprised that I knew what a stormwater interceptor is?
That's good good research.
Right. Yeah. We environmental eggheads know about these things.
Sanitary sewer interceptors, stormwater interceptors, stormwater becoming more and more prevalent as we see the control of runoff and the separation of combined sewer systems. So,
we're bound to hit something here, don't you worry
good
about
sort of until it's not rating season. We started with sewer interceptors as our hot topic.
Stormwater interceptors. It's almost like
people are fascinated with this stuff. They're watching it in Northumberland, wondering, you know, what's this pipe for? They see a natural gas line, high-pressure natural gas line right next to a Service Electric Cablevision fiber optic cable, and people want to know which mm-hmm. is which, and what are they for, and how do you get around them, I guess, is
but
part of that.
But I would say this, though, stormwater interceptor, not a word you'll see on Wheel of Fortune.
Probably not. All right, so I'm going to introduce the whole panel, but Ben is here, I'm very glad to say. On the Mark, sponsor by the Sunbury Motor Company. You can check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. We're going to talk about some chamber things and some PennDOT things here with our guests. But if you have a topic you'd like to bring up, just wait till after the 9 o'clock hour and we'll address this on our show. You can email us now at onthemark@wkok.com and you can text us at 70236. We would just love to hear from you. In the studio, as I mentioned, Ben Reichle is here. He's our co-host today. Bob Garris here from the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce. He's the president and CEO, and we were displaced from our normal Financial Friday last week because we were doing best of shows during the week of the 4th of July, but Bob's here, so after our transportation segment, or maybe in the middle of it, we'll talk to you about the jobless numbers that came out and some of the local jobless numbers, which are all still good, so we can do that. But I'm so glad to say that a person I've become an acquaintance of, Mindy Forsman, is here. She's from PennDOT, a transportation construction manager. She doesn't know everything about the Northumberland project. She certainly knows most of it. She's encountered mysterious concrete boxes underground, strange pipes with no idea, and a wide range of other things while they've been working in Northumberland. Mindy, thank you so much for coming in.
Oh, good morning, Mark. Thank you for having me.
Oh, I do appreciate you coming in and answering all of our questions along the way. I'm going to start, if that's okay. Bob, do you have a direction? We'll take advantage of...
Let's get right into it with Northumberland. I think since Mindy is here, let's talk about detours. Let's talk about all those kind of things that are happening.
All right, you move a little closer to the mic if you don't mind. If you're comfortably distant, you're too far away is the rule of thumb for these mics. Okay. Well, Mindy, everybody keeps saying we're near the end. Of course, we got Priestley Avenue is half of it's cut off, and there's really a lot going on. So give us a quick status update for Northumberland's project, please.
Okay, so this past Monday, we started the next phase of the project, which is the Packer Island Bridge, the Priestley Bridge, up to and including Priestley Avenue. We are doing that in half-width construction, so traffic can come from the island into Northumberland Borough, but southbound traffic needs to be detoured to Route 11 through Shamokin Dam back to Sunbury.
All right, so that is happening, and we have at WKOK.com a very detailed list of PennDOT-approved sort of a sequential thing. So right now, everybody should be pretty much familiar with what's happening. You can't go to on the Priestley Bridge from Northumberland, but Priestley Bridge traffic is coming across. At some point in the weeks ahead, that'll flip, and then you're going to activate some temporary traffic lights. So kind of walk us through the phase that starts after Labor Day.
Okay, so after Labor Day, we will be doing... the north side of Priestley up to the park, the King Street Park, but there will always be one lane open to Route 11 going towards Danville. So we will be doing each side of that, of Route 11 and Water Street. So like I said, traffic can always go through Danville. The detour will be coming from Duke Street, south on Duke Street to 3rd Street to Orange Street, down to Priestley, and then back on to 147, which is the lower part of King Street. And there will be a temporary signal at Water Street and Priestley, and then at 3rd and Duke Street.
All right, yeah, 3rd and Duke Street, so that'll be an added light. The first light in the heart of Duke Street, are you sort of expecting you might get some folks that say, hey, we like that light? Like if we got it orange in Front Street, some folks said, oh, we like this light.
It's very possible that people will like the light. They've liked the light so far. Everybody, I think, was nervous about the lights and what it would do to traffic, but once they were up, they actually really liked them and asked for them to stay.
Okay, well, I happen to live in Northumberland. I don't like the lights. Let's just get that out of the way. But a lot of people do, especially motorists on Orange Street. So that would really enable you to go across Front Street when the light was green, and so the timing was wonderful there. All right, so let's ask about something else that popped up recently, the truck ban being lifted. I'll just say one of our listeners on Facebook said, hey, big mistake. We were enjoying that. Now we're going to have big trucks going through town. It's going to, you know, gum things up. Why lift the ban temporarily and then sort of a limited ban later?
The ban was originally for the work going on Duke Street itself. Well, now that Duke Street has been reconstructed, we can allow trucks to come north and south on Duke Street. The intersection has been widened at Duke and Water Street, so it's exactly the way we need it to be. There's more... Since the intersection has been widened, there's more area for vehicles to stack up before they go through the lights, coming in both directions, coming both 147 north and south, and then Water Street on 11.
I think the wow effect when you go through now is it really blows you away. Like, what, this really works well. And other than that, what is it, like 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock period where the entire valley gums up, it really is working very, very well. Mindy, the King Street bypass, the one that is there this morning, okay, the construction project. I know this weekend is the Sunbury celebration, mm-hmm. but is it next weekend is the complete closure of King Street, and how will the detour work for that long weekend next weekend?
It is next weekend. It was originally supposed to be this weekend, but due to the Sunbury celebration, we changed it to next weekend to alleviate any of those traffic issues that would have been happening. The detour is going to be the same as it has been for the truck detour. So everybody coming up into Sunbury will have to go the 61 Vets Memorial Bridge over to 11 and 15 and then back in on Water Street through the underpass and into the town again.
Should create a fairly quiet weekend on Front Street in Sunbury, I would think.
Yeah. Absolutely. And yeah. We always do these things on the weekend when we have to do full closures to try to eliminate as much traffic congestion as we can.
And what are the actual days that the full closure will be? Is it Friday to Monday or Thursday to Tuesday? What are the days?
It is scheduled for noon on Friday the 19th until noon on Monday the 22nd.
And probably opening before then, if things go well.
Correct.
That's
kind of,
we've seen this. Weather cooperate, you know, a lot of cooperation has to fall into place.
Oh, I know Route 42 closed recently in Catawissa for the rail crossing there, and they did not finish until noon Monday. And everybody's like, wait, no, you're supposed to finish sooner. That's tradition. You get done earlier so you can get it open first thing Monday morning. So, but that didn't work out in that particular case. All right, so let's see. Surprises along the way. Tell us, you dig a hole in Northumberland and maybe in other towns too, and you see a pipe, you have no idea what it is. Is that what's happening sometime?
That's happened almost every day that we dig in Northumberland, and I'm sure other old towns as well. There's a lot of unknown drainage structures that are down there, a lot of pipes that nobody has any idea what they are. And sometimes we find them before we hit them, sometimes we hit them, and if they are a functioning pipe, we have to fix it and keep moving. We try to make the phone calls to the borough and the water authority to see if anybody has any idea who they belong to and if they are still functioning. But if we find that they are functioning on their own, we fix them and keep going.
So you can't tell. You encounter a water pipe you weren't expecting. It's not 100% clear what's in it.
That is correct.
Okay, so you can't just listen to it?
If there's something moving in it, if there's some kind of... Generally, it's a liquid. We found very little solids that we didn't know were a functioning pipe. But if there's something running in it, yes, we fix it and keep moving. If nobody claims it, like, so we make the phone calls, and if nobody will claim it, we fix it and keep moving.
Why would we have antiquity pipes underground?
Well, due to the, unfortunately, lack of... proper mapping and proper, over the decades. But for the most part, you should almost never have a water pipe. You should never come on a water pipe, because a water pipe is revenue. Sewer pipes are revenue. So if you run into water and sewer pipes, there's a problem. That means somebody's probably getting free water, or the situation has to be looked at. But the frustration for contractors and for project managers on every project's complex anymore. You start digging, you find things, is the lack of the information. And you can have 100 meetings beforehand, and you had public meetings.
Probably easily.
And you start it, and then you find out. And what the municipalities and the authorities are trying to get their hands around is where is our infrastructure? Quote-unquote, what's the asset management? What are the assets of our water system? What are the assets of our sanitary sewer systems, our stormwater systems, the combined sewer systems now that are asked to be separated, but the details of the map. So when you have a contractor come in fairness to that contractor, he's I don't want to say he's flying blind, but it's not a, they can't say we're going to get 1 mile of production in today, because 10 feet into that there's a gas line. And remember, what's underground isn't water, sewer, and stormwater. It's the other infrastructure. And as Bob Garrett in the chamber wants there to be more underground, and that would be broadband.
Absolutely.
So there's going to be more things underground. Now, hopefully in the future, what you'll see is you'll see conduits put in for future use, and you'll have updated systems now through GIS. But it's more than frustrating. And what happens is, a lot of times, Joe and Jane Q. Public do not understand what's going on underneath the ground. Subsurface infrastructure, out of sight, out of mind. If your toilet flushes, you're happy. Your water turns on, you're happy. You don't get a backup in your basement, you're happy.
So far, so good.
So it's working. But what happens underneath, and the lack of preventive maintenance and maintenance over the years has been a problem, and we see it now.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, if somebody has a question for Mindy, you can call in. We'll let you talk about the Northumberland project, but we also want to talk about the economic impact. That's why the chamber kind of brought this up today, so we're going to get to that. But call us if you wish to, 1-800-795-9565. You are welcome to email us at onthemark@wkok.com. We'll be right back.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC Way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
All right, welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the mark, we're talking about impasses and opportunities when it comes to Northumberland's project. So if you have a question or an observation about Northumberland's so-called Duke Street project, although Duke is just about done other than the final paving, but now Water, King, and Front are getting some of the work that's happening there. Call us, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. That's 1-800-795-9565 through all of this. There's certain parts of Northumberland that get extra traffic, and certain parts they get no traffic for a short time. So there's going to be some folks in Northumberland on Front Street and King Street that aren't going to have any vehicles for a while. Now, they'll have daytime work, but no traffic on the weekend, I think, so they'll probably be looking forward to that time. Mindy Forsman's here from PennDOT. She's their construction manager in Northumberland, and the most surprising thing you found in Northumberland would be what? The most surprising
There's been many most surprising things that we found.
Every time something else comes up.
Probably the thing that gave us the biggest setback was at the corner of Front and Sheets Avenue, where we found fiber optic conduit that was encased in concrete that was basically attached to an inlet that we needed to remove and replace, and there's this fiber optic conduit that we really didn't know what to do with. We contacted Verizon, and they made some phone calls because, of course, everybody who's working now was not around when the work was done. So they had to get a contractor from their end in to chip the concrete away from this conduit so we could try to thread our pipes underneath and build our inlet to not damage the conduit.
Now, is that intersection the busiest intersection in town in terms of water, sewer, fiber optic, natural gas lines?
No, I'd say that's where we are right now.
Okay.
Probably the intersection of Priestley and King, and then once we jump up to King and Water. We found some issues on King Street back in February, and we have been working. It took about 3 months to develop a new plan to do what we're doing right now. And there again, it's slow, tedious work. There's a 12-inch gas main right underneath the road that we needed to avoid. And there's another fiber optic line for SEC TV that's encased in concrete that we need to avoid. Plus, another surprise we had was right in front of the old service station there on King Street. And there was an old manhole that we were going to be abandoning, a PPL manhole, which you have your typical round manholes. They're maybe 5 feet in diameter. What we ended up finding was a concrete vault, which was approximately 12 feet long by 6 feet wide by about 9 feet deep. And we popped the manhole and we looked down in it, and it had about 3 feet of water in it. So at that point, we didn't know if it was still functional or not. So we had to pump the water out and then take a vacuum truck and suck the mud out from the bottom to know that there was nothing in it. And we put a camera down in it to look to see if there was any conduit coming in, and there was three blocked conduit holes. So for what we thought was a major disaster, midway through our first day of this phase, ended up being not so bad, because within a couple of hours of, you know, pumping the water out and vacuuming the mud out, we were able to determine that it's really something we can still abandon. So we had to break down part of it and fill it with concrete so we could keep moving.
But how is that not on the GIS map? And nothing against the authorities on this stuff, but something, here's a manhole. Now, on the outside, what did that mantle? It was just a blank mantle cover. Usually they say sanitary or storm sewer on it.
Or PPL.
It had electric. PPL. It had electric
so it did
manholes.
Have PPL.
Yeah.
So it was PPL's manhole.
Yes.
Okay. But nobody knew what it was.
Nobody knew how large it was. And PPL was under the impression that it was a standard manhole and it had been filled with gravel.
Yeah.
But there again, you know, if nobody's kept documentation over the years, and it's not just one utility, it's everybody. Mm-hmm. And it's unfortunate, but it is what it is.
Well, and it's very hard for the water and sewer authorities to keep track if the people aren't feeding them information, the people being the Verizons, the Service Electrics. And in fairness, it usually comes down to the water sewer authority people. Sometimes they're different, sometimes they're one, to try to get this spaghetti straightened out because people turn to them first. Well, you should know what's underneath the ground. How can we know if nobody tells us?
Correct. And one of the problems is when utilities are upgrading their infrastructure, they have the money to replace the utilities.
Mm-hmm.
That's not necessarily replace. That's a lot of times putting new in. Mm-hmm. The old remain in place because they don't necessarily have the money at that time to take them out. You think it would be common sense to take them out, but it is more money on their part, and everybody has a limited budget.
Oh, no. You'll find abandoned water lines. You'll find abandoned lines of all sorts. And it's I have a picture in my office. It's 1899 or 1912 New York City, and they open it up, and it is literally spaghetti. I don't know how. You have no idea of what's going on. But that's older infrastructure, and that's replacement. And again, the public doesn't quite understand that. They want the road open. They call the Chamber of Commerce and complain they can't go do commerce. But what's underneath, again, you have to try to put some sort of time frame in because it happens day in and day out when you're on that project.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Are you up? Do we have updated maps now? As you do this project, you're cranking out maps that are 100% current, right?
Yeah, that is correct.
Okay, so that's certainly a benefit. Economic benefits when you dig up a town and replace the roads.
So a couple of things that the chamber asked PennDOT and Mindy and her colleagues was, number one is, you know, Duke Street has been perennial. Those of us who have been involved with transportation in the greater Susquehanna Valley for a few years know that just 20 years ago, we redid Duke Street. And we asked them, you know, let's get it right. Let's get in there, get it done, and stay out. Let's not come back in 10 years or 20 years. So they responded to that with a full depth reclamation of that. Now, we had no idea the full depth was 9 feet. We were thinking 18 inches. But, you know, you find out what you find out when you get in there. So we asked for that. We asked for them to accommodate all transportation modes. And all you have to do is go under that railroad bridge, and you can see that you know, folks going over to that boat access area and to the sports fields on the other side of the railroad, it's perfectly safe now. They can easily ride their bicycles or walk over to there. So that all transportation modes have been accommodated. Specifically, we were interested in commerce. You know, we all know how 11 used to back up because of trucks lining up there. Now, the ultimate solution clearly is the thruway to get the trucks out of places like downtown Northumberland and downtown Lewisburg, et cetera, off of the 11 and 15 strip. The thruway is the ultimate solution, but there always will be some trucks needing to go through Northumberland, needing to go through Lewisburg, et cetera. And those that do need to go through there in a long term, let's make sure they're accommodated. And the third thing we asked for was some transparency. Work with the local folks. And I think I've participated with most of the, I call them the gazebo meetings that Mindy and Ted and others host, and they're fantastic. I know sometimes you probably feel like you should be getting combat pay, but when they come in and they face people, when the PennDOT folks or the construction, the people that are actually doing the work stand there and talk directly to the residents about concerns they have, I think it's government at its best.
economic impact, towns benefit from the rebuilding of roads?
Absolutely. I mean, transportation is the that's what creates the location. And I know this has been tough. It's been a tough string, and it'll be another year yet some inconveniences. But we truly are getting permanent improvement in Northumberland, and I think you'll see Northumberland really bounce back very, very nicely.
Well, yeah, a lot of businesses have lost a lot of business. You know, restaurants, even the insurance agency said they're walking businesses down.
Project after project, what we know from the data is there's about a 5% loss during the construction project. After the project ends, within the first 2 years, there's something in around a 40% gain in business afterwards. So, let's hope everybody was able to hang in there. And we've done all we can to promote the Northumberland businesses, suggesting, hey, if you have a choice, go there for dinner tonight. You know, maybe you want to come from the north to get to the Front Street Station or something like that. But, we've been doing what we can to promote the businesses in Northumberland.
Also, too, though, you have to remember the coordination sometimes doesn't work, meaning that here's a project going on in Norrie, then all of a sudden in another municipality, they want to do this. That's going to back traffic up even more. So
sure.
I think the coordination regionally hopefully is a little bit more efficient in the future. And then unfortunately, once these projects get put off, this was what, 15 years on the books, and Bob, they did it 20 years ago but didn't do it completely. They did a Band-Aid method, and here's what you get. So if you go in and do it right, I don't think they're touching any part of Norrie probably for 75 years.
All right, Mindy, we'll give you the last word here. You're going to have to head out. So an additional comment, please. Anything to add to our conversation?
Just be patient with us. There is a glimmer at the end of the tunnel. It's getting bigger slowly. Everybody has been very patient. I know everybody's patience is wearing thin, but for the most part, everybody's been supportive of the project. Like I said, I know there are some people that are still a little unhappy, and we are doing the best we can. We have run into many, many issues like we've talked about today. Just hang in there.
Okay, so, and keep informed. The PennDOT.gov/Duke Street, 100% current, anything people want to know. Well, thank you so much. Thank you for all your help. And this is the 957th question you've answered for me, so I appreciate that. You've been there, and you and Ted really helping us out. So thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Mindy Forsman from PennDOT. We're going to continue our conversation. Matt Beck's going to be here from PennDOT in our next segment. You're listening to WDKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Ben Reichley.
And welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show, On the Mark. We're going to do about 20 more minutes of our chamber conversation today. Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce is our topic. We have some folks here highly informed on that. And we're going to keep our transportation theme going with another guest. So we'll introduce him momentarily. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Please check him out at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is going to stay open during this segment. If you have a question about the CSVT, call us, 1-800-795-9565. You can also email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. We'd love to hear from folks today. We'll dispense with the reading of the headlines until we get to 925 this morning, and then we will look at some news headlines around here. Ben Reichley is my co-host. Rob Center, our fabulous producer, doing a super job. Bob Garrett's here, the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce. Thank you for staying. Appreciate you coming in.
It's great to be here, Mark.
And we have another guest from a different office in PennDOT. Matt Beck is back, a PennDOT Assistant Plans Engineer. Is that the correct title?
Right.
All right, perfect. Assistant Plans Engineer. He's entirely the man in charge of all of the CSVT project, right?
At least the design side of things.
All right, yep. The design. Okay, fabulous. All right, so we appreciate you coming in. Announcement. So I guess an update. People see what's happening in the northern section, so we'll sort of set that aside, but we'll get back to it. Southern section, what's the status of getting that work going?
Well, on the southern section, it was earlier this year that we got environmental clearance from the Federal Highway Administration for the modified route that's proposed to avoid the ash basins. That's a topic that I think most people are familiar with. So we got that environmental clearance earlier this year. That puts us fully back into final design of the southern section. So there's many, many different types of engineering details that we're working through. We're working on bridge designs, stormwater management design, highway lighting and traffic signal designs, hydraulic studies for streams that will be crossed by the new highway. As we work through all those engineering details, we're preparing plans to acquire the right-of-way that's needed to accommodate the proposed highway features. We're also working on arrangements to relocate the utilities that are impacted by the projects, or by the project. And ultimately, we'll, as we continue to work through those details, we'll be working on applications for permits from the environmental agencies to let us do the work. So those activities, final design, right-of-way acquisition, utility relocation, and permitting are the major things we have to work through yet to get to construction in a few years.
And this is, what, about a three-year delay? Was it 2 years ago we were at the chamber office with the announcement that the ash basins were an impediment? Was that 2 years ago?
It put us behind about 2 years. It took us about 2 years to analyze alternate routes around the ash basins and then to work through the environmental documentation. So it's been about a total of a two-year delay.
And it's very important, this the work that they've been doing, because this is an environmentally fragile, environmentally important area. The other thing, Mark, is that thruway is being built on top of the hill. And we all know water flows downhill. We were just talking about stormwater in Northumberland. The way this is being designed is very sensitive to all of those kind of issues, as well as the historical attributes of the valley. That we're making sure we're not disturbing any of those. Making sure that our local agriculture is not adversely impacted, et cetera. So there's a lot of dotting I's and crossing of T's involved with this project.
But environmentally, in terms of the sensitive nature of the environment and streams and all that, so on, you got a green light for what you're hoping to do there, right?
Right. The Federal Highway Administration issued a finding of no significant impact. That's the environmental clearance we needed for the alternate route around the ash basins.
Archaeology, that's got to be full of history in that region.
Right, and that's something that we continue to assess. We had done some desktop study and some modeling of potentially archaeologically sensitive areas as we analyzed alternatives. As we move through final design, we're now doing field work to confirm that there aren't archaeological sites that will be impacted by the highway construction. We're in the middle of that right now and expect to have the bulk of those studies done this summer, actually.
And then the other issue that came up, Mark, was the pyritic rock. Matt will probably talk about that in a moment, but not everybody knows pyritic rock. That might not be, that's one of those, that's not going to be on the Wheel of Fortune either, Ben, but everybody knows that fool's gold. That's that stuff that looks like gold, it's not.
Well, anybody that watched I-99 go in knows about it.
Oh, absolutely, yeah, and it's very important that this project missed that, and that's kind of work that PennDOT is currently doing, their consultant are currently doing, just finding out exactly where that rock might exist so it can be avoided or at least be encapsulated.
Right. The potentially acid-bearing rock that we're going to encounter on the southern section is a much, much smaller scale than the I-99 scenario. But we still do have some of it that we'll have to deal with. And like Bob's saying, we've been working on soil borings and laboratory testing to help us get a handle on exactly where that acid rock is located and to help us design the treatment measures that'll be needed.
What's your feeling where it's at now? Is that by the old Monroe dump area in there?
No, it's in the southern end of the southern section, roughly between Attic Road and Park Road. That's the area where the highway excavation is going to encounter the geologic formations that are prone to producing acid potential.
So on the west side of the Heimbach Farm area, people go up there. Kingswood is a development
right,
up there.
That's where it starts, and then north from there.
Okay, so so far, with all your desktop studies based on history and every other thing, you're getting green lights everywhere you turn.
Yep, we're in good shape so far. We've got a lot of details to work through, but things are moving ahead well.
Well, no. I think people probably don't get a sense of, I'll get right back to you, Ben. I don't think people get a sense of, people think, okay, so they need an environmental clearance. That's, you draft where you want the highway, and you get that. Archaeology, you make sure that you're not in some really significant historical section. You got a green light there. People just think, well, you build the road. But everything goes into account, like where one drop of water comes off that highway or off the hill, and everything has to be factored in. It's a lot of problem solving along the way, sort of foot by foot, each section.
Right, and many, many different factors to consider. You talked about accounting for drops of water off the highway. Those ultimately need to be collected in stormwater management basins to get a permit that we'll ultimately need from DEP. As we design those stormwater basins, we might find that we impact access to private property that we need to make adjustments for, or we may impact utility facilities that need to be relocated. And often we find ourselves in an iterative process where we design one portion of the project a certain way, see how that impacts other things, and need to make adjustments and iterate through the design process.
Doing a lot of this computer-aided help along the way?
Certainly, right. All our plans are prepared using computer-aided design and drafting systems.
But then sometimes we see you out by X farm looking at X tree line or hill or null or whatever, and you're just walking the line kind of thing.
Right. Certainly verifying what we are laying out on paper, making sure it's going to work, and just doing a reality check a lot of times in the field.
Well, I think part of this, though, is the detail that went in beforehand, even though the ash basins, which I think they have sort of Brea tar pit. They're in that same boat, I guess. But so there was a lot of work done beforehand, and now you have to implement it. So, again, with all the red lights before, now there's finally some green lights. And the economic impact, unfortunately, if this bypass is done, Norrie's not going through what they're going through on the same level. Lewisburg's not going through what they're doing on the same level. All these projects have come together, unfortunately, at the same time. But after these are finished, fortunately, it will be very positive. But Matt, the opening of the northern section, what is the exact time on that now?
We expect the northern section to be open by 2022.
Okay.
At this point.
So, and that will really alleviate Norrie and Lewisburg, and then the backup will be 11:15.
Right.
All right, we have a caller on the line. Headphones on, men. 1-800-795-9565 if you'd like to talk to Matt Beck, a PennDOT assistant plans engineer, highly informed on the CSVT project. He just gave an update to the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce Transportation Committee, and now he's doing a repeat performance, bringing us up to date with the CSVT design. 1-800-795-9565. Southern section design, I should say. Cindy, thank you so much for calling in. You're on the mark.
I have a question about the properties that were acquired based on the old bypass plan. So you had this plan, and you were buying properties. I saw this. People were purchased out of their houses, and the houses were raised off the land. And, of course, this meant a loss of tax revenue to three levels of local government who depended on the property taxes from the land to fund services. And I understand that total of this, it's going to take about 200 properties out of our communities that will go from being taxable to non-taxable owned by the state. So my concern is those that you've already bought that now you're not going to use because you've moved the highway, when will they be put back into the tax rolls?
That's something we would consider after the construction of the entire project has been completed. It just makes sense for us to hang on to that land until the entire project is done, because unforeseen things could come up during the construction that require the need for some additional property, and it only makes sense for us to use that property that's already been acquired rather than to dispose of that now and then potentially have to impact different property to address those unforeseen issues. But that is definitely something that will be considered after the complete construction is done.
But that is prolonging an adverse impact against school districts, against townships, against the county, against my borough. You know, my borough, I live in Shamokin Dam, is really taking a hit on this project. And you're only exacerbating it by hanging on to properties that you've moved away from.
Lost revenue is happening.
Yeah.
Can
and
that be expedited?
And you're telling me it could be, you know, 5 years and more until you put that property back on the market, even though you won't be using it. I don't think that's reasonable. I don't think that's rational to deny all that local government that revenue.
Yeah, well, ultimately, that's meant to avoid getting into a situation where something comes up during construction and we'd have to further impact private property. Right. It does take a period of time to work through that process to dispose of right-of-way anyway, so it's something that we wait until the complete construction's done to pursue.
All right, so that's the last word in every case, everywhere, every time. Even if you get requests to expedite, every project waits till the end. That's all there is to it.
Right.
So is this the law or is this a department policy?
That's department policy.
So it can be changed then.
Right. I think you go over Matt's head and go from there, Cindy.
That's exactly what's going to happen.
Right.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Yeah, well said. Thank
Bye.
You so much for calling. We'll take more comers, 1-800-795-9565. We're glad that Matt Beck is here, PennDOT Assistant Plans Engineer. He's on the WKOK campus to enjoy a conversation about economic impact and sort of the positives that are associated with some of these construction projects around here. His specialty, the CSVT, northern section, the part where you see them putting in roads and so on now, is going to be done in 2022. And the southern section going to be finished 2025, did you say?
2027.
2027. Holy smokes. I'll
right.
be a grandpa by then. Okay. Well, that's fine. We'll look forward to that. Almost a decade away.
Mark, can I just jump in? I think Cindy had technically was correct about the 200 parcels, but I think some of those parcels are actually quite, they're not entire homesteads, if you will. It might be a 10-foot strip somewhere that's
sliver.
Just needed.
Right. That's a good clarification, Bob. You know, the 200 properties is roughly the total that are affected by both the southern section and the northern section of the project. And like you said, by no means are all 200 of those properties completely impacted. In a lot of cases, it's just a small strip of land that's required from some of those properties.
All right. Noted. Okay. Thank you so much. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. If you have a question for Matt Beck of PennDOT, Bob Garrett's here, and an expert when it comes to subsurface infrastructure, is our normal co-host anytime. Ask him about stormwater. He knew what a stormwater interceptor was before I started talking about it. Ben Reichle is with us, so we'll be right back with another segment with Matt Beck.
Your summer just got better with the summer sales event at Sunbury Motors Kia. Summer is heating up as the prices cool down. During the Kia Summer Sales Event, you can drive away in that brand new Kia for less than ever. Lease a 2019 Kia Niro LX for only $289 a month.
Only $289 a month.
A 2019 Kia Forte LXS for just $239 a month.
$239 a month.
And a 2019 Kia Optima LX for only $269 a month.
$269 a month.
And all Kias come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. The deals are heating up during the summer sales event at Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Lease term is 36 months, 12,000 miles per year, $1,200 total due at signing or equivalent trade. No security deposit required, tax and tags extra. Offer expires 7/30/119. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to kia.com.
All right, one of our good listeners sends us a text that says, in 2022, when the northern section opens, what's the speed limit going to be on the CSVT?
It'll be posted with a 65-mile-an-hour
65,
speed.
All right, fabulous. Yeah, a lot of people like to. Ben can't drive 55s either, so. All right, 1-800-795-9565, about 5-10 more minutes with Matt Beck, a PennDOT Assistant Plans Engineer, talking about the southern section of the CSVT. So all the right-of-way acquisitions have taken place. Everybody who needs to get out of the way is notified and moved.
No, that's okay. One of the major activities that we need to work through yet. As we refine our design details, we're preparing right-of-way acquisition plans that are the first step in acquiring right-of-way.
Does everybody know they're under the microscope, though?
I think through the pretty extensive public outreach that we've done over the last couple of years, I think it's safe to say that folks that are going to be impacted or aware of it.
All right. Are there any signs out in the highway that say, no, CSVT?
Not that I've come across.
Okay. Yet. I haven't seen them either. So that's probably going to help you out there. All right. So right-of-way acquisitions. Can you walk me through a conservative timeline for the southern section of the CSVT?
Sure. We expect to need another 2 or 3 years to get through the final design details and land acquisition and utility relocations. And at this point, we expect construction to start by 2022. From there, it'll be a 5 or 6 year period of construction. So we expect the southern section to be done and open to traffic by 2027.
All right. So if anybody has a question about the southern section, call now, 1-800-795-9565. Quick glance at the northern section. We see the big CSVT bridge going up, and they're moving dirt around back on the sort of the Route 405, 147 region over there, kind of get things. So bring us up to date over there.
Right. So we're making great progress on the construction of the northern section. Like you said, that's definitely visible with the construction of the river bridge. There's one pier left to be finished in the middle of the river, actually. In the next couple of weeks, we should see more beams being set across those piers. And then within the next month or so, we should start seeing some of the concrete poured for the concrete deck or the driving surface on that new river bridge.
So to lift a beam up to the bridge piers in the middle of the river, you start out in Point Township and drive out the cofferdam to get that beam out there?
Right. So those beams will be delivered to the Route 147 side of the river, turn off 147 and head down the access road to get out onto the causeway.
Yep. All right. There are occasional delays there. They don't seem to last too long, but every so often you're moving a crane or pulling something or pushing something and traffic has to stop for a short time.
Right, and that's exactly what we expect to see moving forward. No major long-term delays there, just isolated impacts that come up from time to time.
All right, so the southern section done in 2022, which is
3 years. Section.
Northern
or
section.
Northern section, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, but it seems like a long way down the road. Mm. All right, let's talk about economic impact. You're watching this saying, holy smokes, we're going to have a big conduit through here with money pouring in.
Well, you know, the Chamber of Commerce has sort of been driving the bus, if you will, for the better part of 4 decades on this, what we now know as the Thruway. We have long believed that the area needs this, not only to deal with the traffic issues that Ben already mentioned in places like Northumberland and Lewisburg, but the huge traffic issues on the Strip. We saw that in it under a microscope this past Monday, where there's clearly no alternative route currently other than the Strip. And when it jams up, it really jams up. So the Thruway will take that through traffic, if you will, and separate it from the local traffic. And we believe that there's going to be a huge explosion of commerce in the valley because of the Thruway taking that fast-moving through traffic away from the local traffic, and folks will discover places like downtown Northumberland, downtown Sunbury, downtown Lewisburg, as well as what could potentially be the new Main Street of the Greater Susquehanna Valley, Hummelsworth, and Schmokin Dam.
All right, and that benefits everybody. Ben?
Well, it should. I mean, Sealands Grove only exists as we know it today because of the bypass. If not, it would look similar to Northumberland with the truck traffic and everything through. So you see the effects of a bypass.
How bad do we look? Let me ask you that real quick.
Well, you went through the reconstruction. You know what happens on Duke Street. And, you know, if you have constant truck traffic, it's hard for restaurants and other, let's say, the boutiques or offices to work in today's world. And beep and creep was what Sealands Grove was known to by the hunter and fishermen south of Harrisburg area when they would come through Sealands Grove back in the 60s and 70s. So you see what it is. And the exit ramps, I mean, to get off and do commerce are going to be there down at the south side and then the 61 connector. So, you know, the people saying that it'll take businesses away, it will allow businesses to really open up also. And remember, 1115 as designed, and Matt, you know this, 1115 is not just commerce. It's residential. There's some still residential, but the entrances and exits on 1115 are just notoriously tough to control traffic. Then you have the traffic lights. So it's something that, you know, unfortunately should have happened back in the 70s. It didn't, and here we are today. But when it does happen, it will be a, I believe, significant positive impact on people talk about commerce, but also on safety. Particularly safety on 1115, and people aren't getting any younger in some regards here. We're sitting here at this table and we're driving. Matt, you're the youngest person here. But you look at allowing some of the seasoned drivers to be able to get around 1115 in somewhat of a civil manner.
All right, well, we're at a pivot point in our show. We would just love, if anybody wants to call, you got to be a speedy dialer. We'll go around the table and get our additional comments and closing comments. We'll start with you, Bob. What's cooking at the Chamber? Big events coming up?
You know, we joke that we take July off. It's our quiet month, but we are coming up on some really big events. Actually, this month, on the 27th, is our paddle party, sponsored by Wise Markets. We'll be out there honoring veterans while we paddle from the Milton area down to Bix Water Sports. That's on the 27th. And then coming in August, we have our networking with nonprofits, and then we really get into it this fall with the economic forecast luncheon and a bunch of others. We're going to be doing a broadband summit. So we've got a lot of events coming up, the Women's Leadership Seminar, all those things coming up this fall. So everything's available at gsvcc.org.
All right, and the paddle is coming up when?
The 27th.
Anybody can go to that?
That's anybody. Vets paddle for free. So any veterans that are listening in, come on out. Bring your families. It'll be a great time out on the west branch of the Susquehanna River.
All right, well, Bob, thank you so much. You pulled this panel together. So
always a pleasure.
Appreciate that. And Matt, thanks for coming in.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Come back and visit us every couple months, whether we need it or not. It'll be helpful.
Anytime.
All right. Appreciate it. Matt Beck, Assistant Plans Engineer from PennDOT. Mindy Forsman was here, a PennDOT Transportation Construction Manager, and Bob Garris here leaving, but we appreciate him coming in. You don't want to stick around and talk about the deportations and that kind of thing?
You know, let's talk about that when I'm back in August.
Okay.
But I would like to talk about our polarization initiative, and I'd like for folks to know what we're doing here in the Chamber to be a welcoming community that is robust with workers from all kinds of skill levels. But we'll talk about that in August.
All right. To be continued. Financial Friday typically falls on the first Friday of the month when the jobless numbers come out. And this will be the first report that will reflect the fact that there was a big layoff in Snyder County, right?
We should see that in August.
All right. So look for an uptick in joblessness in Snyder County reflected therein. Thank you so much, everybody. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with open phones and some news headlines. 1-800-795-9565.
There's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the mark, Mark Lawrence here. Patronize your people on the Duke Street Detours and King Street Detours. Go to the Front Street Station. Let's see, Groninger Insurance and let's see, everybody else there. And the Young's Gun Shop and everybody else. So you can take good care of the businesses that are enjoying some reduced business because of the CSVT. All right, we have to do some news headlines or I'm going to get in hot water from the news department. $2 million in housing housing money coming to the Valley. State House member Kurt Mosser and State Senator John Gordner had the big cardboard checks yesterday for the Northumberland County Housing Development Corporation. They'll be building a 36-unit senior apartment building called Mountainside Estates in a blighted area in Cole Township. City of Sunbury looking to repair its community pool. City Administrator Jody Auker says they're right now assessing what needs to be done, and then they hopefully will get some grant money that'll help pay for that.
And how much we can get. I don't know if the city would have to take out of its general fund. I would hope that we wouldn't have to. We're hoping that we could get this on track to have the work done in the spring and be ready to open. But there may be another year where we'll have to kind of get through with patching.
She says they've already started looking to local foundations that may be able to help support with the pool repairs in Sunbury. The State Health Department is expanding the list of ailments that can qualify you for medical marijuana if a licensed medical professional prescribes that for you. Anxiety disorders and Tourette's syndrome now added to cancer, epilepsy, intractable seizures, intractable pain, post-traumatic stress disorder, terminal illness, and other conditions as being eligible for medical marijuana prescriptions, if and only if your medical prescription provider says this. Dr. Rachel Levine, the state health secretary, says that the medical marijuana should not be the first treatment option for these conditions, but physicians can use it as part of their therapeutic approaches. And the state attorney general's office is doing exactly what we have said on this program they should do, enforce existing gun laws in order to try to perhaps help gun laws to make us safer. The AG's office says it wants to improve the management and use of firearms sales databases so that law enforcement can better clamp down on gun violence. Attorney General Josh Shapiro announced Thursday that he wants police departments to enter serial numbers from every gun crime gun into a law enforcement database so its original seller can be identified. His office says most crime guns aren't being entered as the law requires, so here you have police not complying with the law. Shapiro says his office wants retailers to submit gun sale records electronically as well to help get rid of a police backlog of paper records that are waiting to be entered into the database. Shapiro's office says that'll allow law enforcement to more quickly trace guns used in crimes. The effort comes amid a surge in gun violence in Philadelphia. All right, those are the news headlines.
Lawless Philadelphia, lawless Baltimore, lawless Chicago.
Chicago, yeah. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We got open phones right now. John, thank you so much for calling in. You are on the mark.
Yes, how you doing today?
Perfect, and you?
Oh, pretty good. Hey, I had a major concern on the new 15 project coming from Seons Grove. I was curious to see what impact that's going to have on the traffic flow through Muncie area, past the mall into Williamsport, I-80. I was just open on opinions on that.
Well, it should increase it, I would think. Rather than be on the Route 15 side, you'd be over on that side on the four-laner over there.
Is it going to impact a lot of congestion, traffic flow?
I think I-80 flows pretty smoothly most of the time. Yeah, there is some construction up in the Williamsport region right now. We see that on the map. Should help things. Should help things. And the retailers up there, they're counting on increased volume. You see a lot of retail construction that the volume doesn't necessarily support, and so they're hoping for increased volume from this. And we also see some businesses that couldn't wait. You know, there's some businesses in and around the Lycoming Mall and some other peripheral businesses there that you say they can't wait for the extra volume, but some of them closed because they couldn't wait, you know, that long.
Right.
They couldn't kind of hold out.
It'll bring more business into that area, too. Yeah.
Well, that's the assumption. Yeah. It'll be easier for folks to get there.
So. Right. Yep. Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Appreciate the call.
Yep.
1-800-795-9565 is part of that high tide that raises all the ships.
Sure. They'll put people on the east side of the on the river, and it will take some of the congestion off of 15. But, you know, when you come... The way it will go, you'll cross the river, go up 180 now, 147, 180, and if you want to get on 15 north, if you want to go to South Williamsport or Muncie, Montgomery, you can then get on 80 and go across the river and go up 15. Mm-hmm. But you'll get through
No stopping.
Yeah, Hummel's Wharf. You know, you'll get through Schmokin Dam, Winfield, Lewisburg. A civil way to travel. You see that around the country and other places. We're just unfortunately a large state. Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, Wilkes-Barre, Erie, Altoona State College take a lot of transportation funds also. And we stood in line a very long time. And politically, things looked very positive back in the 90s with Congressman Schuster. And his retirement put things again a little bit behind. A lot of people are looking for those dollars in this state. And things finally got coordinated, and now the push is on to get it completed by 2027.
And you could start out in below Baltimore somewhere. And as soon as you get through the last toll on Baltimore, if you take the Beltway and don't pay any tolls, mm-hmm. you can get on then. You don't have a single stop sign or traffic light until you get to Williamsport. And so when the CSVT is finished.
Yeah, it will be. The way we used to promote this in the 90s, and Bob Garrett, who was here, we're many of the 12-year, PennDOT 12-year planning over about 24 years, so at least two of them. But anyway, when these planning groups go on X amount of years, we talked about from New York border to the Maryland border without a stop sign.
You have a red light in Williamsport now.
But not if you take the throughway all the way.
Oh, 180 goes right through without stopping.
Yeah, so,
right. Okay.
But the part about 1115, when it splits, of course, you got 15 going down through, you have the situation in Dillsburg. And after that, once you get through Dillsburg, you're clear. So there's a little spot in there. But if you're on 83, like you said, you can come up to the Harrisburg area and basically go to New York, once this is done, New York without a red light.
I think that was a Tom Cruise movie, The Dillsburg Situation.
Unfortunate, Dillsburg is a miniature version of Hummel's Wharf and Schmokin Dam.
All right, so we have Josh Shapiro, the state attorney general, wants you to enter serial numbers from police departments to enter serial numbers from every crime gun into the law enforcement database. He also wants retailers to submit gun sale records electronically, which I'm assuming they're already doing. That should already be happening. But police, I guess, have to process this. Stan's quite familiar with this. He's one of the listeners in our valley who is an advocate for common sense gun laws that would change us, make us safer, as long as they really work. He has an FFL, a federal firearms license, and is ultra informed on this. Am I right?
Well, some days.
Right, and said on this program a couple of years ago.
I just heard this morning, what you're talking about. Now, so the police aren't doing their job right now.
They're not
now,
keeping
is what he's
up.
Saying.
Well, he's saying they're not keeping up, and there's a backlog of data entry.
No, that's still in the state police, because when they only want serial numbers on handguns, because that's the only thing in PA that's registered. I send paperwork every 2 weeks when I have sales. Every 2 weeks, I send a paper with all the information that they give me and they want for handguns to the state police.
Mm-hmm. So
now,
PSP,
it's on a paper.
Not
now, they
police.
Do have an electronic way that you can do it if you're set up with a computer and all that stuff, and I haven't done that because that's just more hassle that I don't want. But anyways, my question is, all right, the dealers are already sending them the information on the handguns. Now, they can't have the information on the rifles and shotguns other than they were sold. That's part of the background check paper that I send. There's a number every time a gun is purchased. A number is assigned to that transaction. So all those numbers on the form that I send, those transaction numbers, and then whether it's a handgun or a long gun it is. And the only paper they get down there as far as the handgun's concerned, you know, for the guns is the handguns. And that has the serial numbers, and they're all the information that they want for the handgun. Now, it's not our problem that they're behind on getting their stuff in the system. That's their problem. That's a state problem that they don't have enough people doing the job. Because they're, at least 6 months to a year behind on getting that stuff entered in the system, because I've gotten paperwork back from them, and it's 6 months to a year behind. Now, as far as the local police not putting the information into the system when they find a gun at a crime scene, well, that's on them. And my question is, what's the penalty to them? Because if I didn't give them the information they want, there's penalties for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and if you have to ramp up staff to the point where you can keep up would be the suggestion, but I'll bet they don't have any penalties. They just, I know in Williamsport, they were always way behind in the logging of information into computers, the data entry that would go on. They ended up years behind because they just could not possibly keep up. So you could look in their computer and say, you know, have there been any burglaries on 3rd Street? Well, they would say, well, you know, from 1988 until 2017, there were X number of burglaries, but then the records would stop because they were behind.
Then, now therein lies the problem. The government wants more money from us all to do a certain job. Now, one of their jobs is to help prevent crime, to stop crime, and to report that crime. Now, all this other social crap that goes on is not necessarily their job. So why don't they concentrate on their real job? And then if they have extra time and money, spend it on the social stuff. But the law enforcement is one of their top priorities, and they're failing. Yet the law-abiding citizen that is supposed to go out and do all this extra stuff is the one always penalized for lowlifes committing crimes in wherever it is. I don't care where it is. Big city, little city, small town, big town. Doesn't matter. It's always the same thing.
All right. Listen, thank you so much. Noted. You're not going to get an argument from Ben, that's for sure. All right.
No. And again,
thank you, Stan.
Thanks.
Yep, we'll chat later.
It's the government asking and wanting and then not doing anything appropriate with the information for whatever reasons. It seems like bureaucracy runs on bureaucracy sometimes. And, again, I think Stan's point is, they ask for this information, what are they doing with it? And if they're not getting this information, then what's the problem? Because if you and I are asked for information and we don't give it as private citizens,
then we're in hot water.
Yeah, then there's penalties. So,
all right, we have a update from CBS News. We'll be getting more about this on the top of the hour, but the U.S. Labor Secretary Alexander Acosta announcing his resignation. Of course, he is under fire for a plea agreement that related to the Jeffrey Epstein case, so he's out the door, Mr. Alexander Acosta, U.S. Labor Secretary. So he's heavily being scrutinized because of that plea agreement. We can talk about that, plus anything else you'd like to. We are enjoying open phones. We got some deportations this week. President Trump said a couple of weeks ago millions and millions of deportations will be taking place, so we'll look forward to those taking place this weekend. We can talk about that or anything else you wish. The U.S. Labor Secretary, Alexander Acosta, stepping down. Maybe you have a reaction to that or the case that's kind of followed the Epstein arrest this week. We have open phones. Maybe another question about the CSVT. We're going to enjoy 10 minutes of open phones. When we come back, call us now, 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. On the Mark is brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company. I'll tell you the same thing today. I've been telling you every day this week that the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, has brand-new Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln cars and trucks that will meet your precise specifications. If they don't have it, they can order it. And guess what? They got the new Ford Ranger down there. The Raptor's not in yet. The Raptor Ranger, when that's in, I'm going to drive one of those. But it's just a super-looking vehicle, the existing ones that they have. And they got the F-150. Oh, my gosh. They got the F-250. They got an F-350 that's going out to a local township up there that has double cab and a double-length box on it. So it is going to be quite the truck.
That's not a dually?
No, it just says one set of rear wheels. In the back, one set. Don't quote me on that, but I think it just had one set.
After the victory, you can load the whole Little League team in there and go for ice cream.
Oh, my gosh. Well, that'll be great. Yeah, put them in the back of the dump truck. We can probably find a better vehicle, but they could all fit in the front of the vehicle, for that matter. 1-800-795-9565. Sunbury Motor Company, our sponsor. All the details about what they got there truck-wise and car-wise at sunburymotors.com.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle. vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors Way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC Way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC Way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the mark. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Dan, thanks for waiting through the break. You are on the mark.
Hey, good morning, guys. Why, you know, I want to thank Donald Trump again. The Dow Jones broke 27,000 yesterday. And ever since he won the election, even before he was in office, the Dow Jones has been going up and up and up. And this last month, I had a friend in a 401k, just a factory worker. His increase was well over $3,000, his 401k increase in the month of June. So, it's a real great time for America, and more people are depending on stock investments, mutual funds for their retirement. So, that's a great time for America.
Well, the economy's not leaving too many people behind. Joblessness is, what, a 3.56,
yeah,
something like
and
that.
It's interesting what the 2020 presidential candidates on the Democratic side are talking about with the economy. Right now we're seeing where it's middle class, lower middle class, unskilled labor is growing within the group. So interesting what they're trying to talk about, and potentially even what Joe Biden was trying to talk about yesterday on his foreign policy. So, a lot more positives than negatives are happening, and I think people are realizing that politicians for the sake of politicians, bureaucrats for the sake of bureaucrats, that's sort of what makes government get gummed up and not work.
All right. Thank you so much, Dan. Anything else?
You guys have a great weekend.
Hey, you too, buddy. Thanks for calling in. Lance, you're on the mark. Go right ahead.
I am. And to the people who say, well, I don't own any stock. Yeah. Well, you do, because of the fact that Pennsylvania, our entire pension funds and everything that we pay into and that the oligarchs in Harrisburg collect off of, if whatever the Dow doesn't do, we have to make up. So, you know, it's good that the Dow is doing well. You know?
Okay.
And also, the recent call here, the guns here, one of the worst mass shootings we ever had was down in Virginia Tech. And that was really horrific. It was like 32 souls left the planet because of this nutcase who never should have had a gun and would not have had he been in the database, because he was mentally disturbed. And you think about one there, it was 9 people killed there at the black church. Well, they had his name wrong. That guy never should have even got a pea shooter. So it's that fault there. And government in general, like, for instance, our school taxes. Okay, you get a big penalty, you know, if you don't pay it on time. And, of course, I'm always there at the last hour to give it to them in person, because I don't want those bloodsuckers to have money of my money any longer than needed. And I would go in, you know, the last of the month, and it would not get deposited. Well, it wouldn't be taken out of my account at the bank until, like, about the 15th. I remember 1 year it was like the 25th. So, I mean, that's real efficiency there. They're losing revenue all the time that way. And if you take a look at that law that was just vetoed about voting, you know, one party mm-hmm. ticket, you know, like that, well, that's just really a metaphor for the Democratic Party, simply because Democratic folks don't seem to want to do. They want the government to do it for them. Whereas the conservative folks, I find, all they want is a job to be able to do for themselves. So it's goes a whole lot deeper than the one party ticket deal. It's a corollary for the whole outfit.
All right. Noted. Okay. Thank you so much, Lance.
All right. So much. Hey, have a fine, fine weekend.
Thank you. I got a couple of days off next week. I will be back in on Friday on this show. I'll be back in Thursday in the morning. Rob has to do extra work, so I super appreciate that next week.
Well, good weekend. A lot coming up. Fall economics. This will be interesting to see what happens over the next couple weeks. But all the markets, not just the Dow Jones.
All right. You're listening to News.